DeMarco Show.
And I'm awesome!
With Greg DeMarco.
This is my temple!
And Patrick Godown.
You're welcome!
Let's go get inflamed from the hands of the creator. Locust devouring all the hocus pocus.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Take the fish.
And I love you, Greg.
You just made the list.
This is my yard now.
When Sabotage brings us in, you know that can mean only one thing. At least for us, it means only one thing. And that is yet another edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is, of course, Greg DeMarco. I'm vain enough to name a show after myself, and that's what I did almost seven years ago that I named a show after myself. At Chairshot Greg on the Twitter, of course, the publisher of thechairshot.com, where we don't encourage you to. We actually flat out tell you to always use your head. And of course, you can find this and all the editions of the Greg DeMarco Show on demand at thechairshot.com, at thechairshot.com on the Twitter as well. Our good friend Andrew now live tweeting Raw and SmackDown over at thechairshot.com every Monday and Tuesday as we continue to step up our game over on the website side of things. But even though it's the Greg DeMarco Show, it is actually the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd, because I do have my co-host, my best friend. He's going to love this one too, by the way. He is the University of Central Florida to my University of Alabama. That is the one and only at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNG Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
That is a good one. I feel like an uncrowned champion.
You should feel like it. I had a different one, but I'm saving it for next week because this one is topical this week. Although if Alabama wins next week, it would have been topical next week. But you want to take that roll of the dice.
Can we be real here though? Like if you're gonna drop this, this is the only college football talk we're gonna have out here. Do we Central Florida? You got to think they'd get rolled by either of the two teams in the finals, right? Or do you think Auburn? Oh, excuse me. Sorry, that came out of nowhere.
What happened there? You all right? Did you get robbed?
My face exploded. I was trying to talk, and apparently I ran down Central Florida, and suddenly like the nose started itching. it's one of those things. That's like Central Florida is a good story. I don't know if we had the 18 playoff, let them in. I don't buy them beating either Alabama or Georgia.
Damn.
You heard
I don't know if they would either. I think they could have won a first round matchup. Because they would have been against.
Oh, Clemson, they could have beat Oklahoma.
And they probably they could be. It's just I don't know. The thing about the SEC, as for as much hate as they get, they continually prove the hype to be right. And even when they have some losses, they're beating up each other, and it goes to prove you when they have the two teams in the national championship that there's something there. And this isn't the first time they've had both teams playing for the national championship. It's kind of hard to argue with them getting in there, and then they proved it. I mean, Georgia's win, they got dominated for a good portion of that game, but then they came back.
Yeah.
Alabama dominated Clemson, and there's really
My only argument against the whole conference thing is that I think this year in particular the SEC was very top-heavy. Like, the very top of the conference was, like, Alabama was still Alabama, and Georgia was still really good. But, but then you get down to those, like Mississippi State. They were an 8-4 team. They didn't really look all that impressive losing to I can't remember who they lost to. Lost to a Big Ten school. And I can't remember. And I'm Mr. Big Ten, and I'm like, I can't remember who they lost to.
Who I think they lost to?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Because this is a wrestling program, and you said we weren't going to talk that much about football.
Hey,
Patrick,
you kept going.
And so now we're
going
to transition. I did.
I
did, and now I'm cutting it off.
Shut your dumb mouth.
You shut your
mouth. Moving on. We're moving into professional
Big
wrestling.
Big 10 for life, bitch.
We have the two. Hey, we got Big Rick and the 2MB Sports and Fantasy Podcast right here. We got PC's Daily Dozen right here at thechairshot.com. If you want sports, we got sports. This, not a sports show. This
is a wrestling
show. By the way, the Daily Dozen, every single morning at PC Daily Dozen at thechairshot.com. Go out there and check it out. It's all over the place. I can segue. I can finagle a promo for the website into anything at this point.
That's skills. That's why we're in the wrestling, like internet wrestling broadcasting world, because you know you were a promoter for a very brief time, and you I've always been about being the promoter and doing what's best for business. Like you do that.
You
so.
Have to do what's best for business.
That's
you
right.
You have to. You absolutely have to do what's best for business, and I will continue to do what's best for business each and every day at thechairshot.com. But we remind you to always use your head. But Patrick O'Dowd wants to help you use your head. He also wants to help you do what we do here on the Greg DeMarco Show, and that is helping you enjoy the wrestling product more, because he wants to be the realist. It's not that he wants to be the realist. He's going to be the realist on our first topic here. And I'm not going to go into more detail because I want to save that for Patrick O'Dowd. Because last night on Monday Night Raw, if you're listening live on Tuesday, if not, then this past Monday night on Raw, the entire internet went ablaze, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh,
the thing
my
almost
God,
imploded
dude.
Upon itself when three
sure
men
did.
Came together. Three very talented individuals came together to form a six-man tag team, a trio, if you were Patrick O'Dowd. And it's not the Miz. It's not the Shield. No, Patrick O'Dowd. It is, in fact, a group that everybody has to win. The Balor Club, Patrick.
Yeah,
O'Dowd.
There was
Finn
there
Balor,
was some, there was some.
Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows back together. They beat the Miz. Elias, and yeah, everybody's going nuts, man. Everybody's going nuts.
Yeah, there was an internet orgasm.
Was.
A collective. Like, I don't know how many computers got ruined last night, but I'm willing a fair share of them needed some cleaning up. Because, like, people lost their damn minds, dude. Like, lost their damn minds.
Of course
minds.
They did. Of course they did. Because Patrick O'Dowd, it's...
That's what I do!
And that's what they do because their favorites got put together. Something happened that's on their playlist. And it's rare that something happens. And people have been saying they're saving this. They're putting this together. It's the ideal time. And we'll get into if it's the ideal time. But it's everyone's losing their collective minds over the formation or reformation, whatever you want to call, of the Balor Club, which we know is officially the Balor Club for two reasons.
Yep.
Number one, they've been shown on Finn Balor's jacket. Number two, because there was a Facebook post from the WWE United Kingdom feed that actually called them Bullet Club, and it got changed later to Balor Club. They got corrected, so to speak, and so it's officially. So I think we can call it officially Balor Club, and I think it's a thing. But then everybody's losing their shit, Patrick O'Dowd, and I think you may have a thought or two about the collective loss of shit.
Well, so. Here's how I'm going to lead with this collective loss of shit. I can't wait for next week when they're all mad about how they're not being used properly. Because that's what's next. You know that, right? Like, what we've got right now is the big high. Like, everybody is thrilled to death because there are three, New Japan Bullet Club fellas that have been around and in the same, on Raw.
Founding
same time,
members.
They're finally together.
Founding members of Bullet Club.
Founding members, like they're gonna the Smarks, and I'm calling Smarks, including myself, are all excited because they're like, this is gonna be the Bullet Club. They're gonna turn everything upside down, and I hate to break it to you, everybody, they're not gonna turn it upside down. You're all gonna be pissed in a month. You're all gonna be angry in a month because in a month they're gonna be used in whatever way that they're used, and I'm not even gonna venture as to how that's gonna go. Because I'm gonna watch it and let it and see it, and then like next week on Raw, I'm pretty sure that if by, not by next week, but by the Royal Rumble at some point, I will be going with a Ted DiBiase-esque laugh as they do whatever it is that they're going to do with the Balor Club that doesn't make the internet happy. Because it's going to happen.
It's possible they could, because you know how even Steven's booking works, they could lose next week to the Nature Eyes. In a, it's very, 100. Very tough.
Very tough. Exactly.
In fact, doesn't The Miz return next week on Raw?
He might.
He might have been announced as a return next week on Raw, which means we could actually be setting up a feud that I wanted to see for the Intercontinental Championship, and that was The Miz versus Finn Balor, which could mean that Mr. Raj, along with Miz, their rightful leader, may actually beat the Balor Club. So it could be very possible. Here's the best thing about Balor Club coming together. They're already being referred to in WWE lore as the Balor Club, so you don't need to deal with Bullet Club marks yelling when you call it the Bullet Club, because it's just Bullet Club, because we're too busy. Because you can't say three words. You can only say two words because you only have one hand, because your other hand's holding your dick while you're jerking off to Bullet Club videos on your computer, having to replace your laptop so you can't say the Bullet Club. But I digress, Patrick O'Dowd. Here's the thing. I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Sure,
I know you
agree.
Do too. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's a positive. Finn Balor looks so damn happy to be doing this. Like, he's probably been asking for it forever. The groups together. I hope they run with it, because the WWE, specifically Raw, seems ripe for a faction that can actually do some damage and do well and sell merchandise. And it's, you know, you used the phrase best for business earlier. And I actually think that Balor Club doing well could actually be best for business, especially because with Roman Reigns headed towards, you know, the Universal Championship, with Dean Ambrose out for like 9 months, the Shield is not going to be best for business right now, because they're not all there. And I still think Seth Rollins ends up on SmackDown when they do the next shakeup. So you could still have a very high-selling group in Balor Club if they play their cards right. The big question, Patrick O'Dowd, is if. Will they play their cards right?
I think, so personally, I think it'll be fine. Like, I'll be satisfied. And here's the thing, is because I'm not as invested in the Bullet Club, like, I got into New Japan later. So I didn't really see a lot of like what people felt made the Bullet Club so damn special. Whatever story I get, I'm going to be okay with. And I'm going to be able to look at it from like just sort of, I'd like to think, a relatively objective fan's point of view. So I think I'm going to be fine with whatever they do with the Bullet Club. I think that the people who lost their minds yesterday will not be. It will not be what they want it to be.
No, short of them holding titles all at the same time, or they're to be randomly creating World Six-Man Tag Team Championships and giving it to these guys, I don't know what could possibly make the collective internet happy. Because here's the thing. WWE is a week-to-week show. And even when Bullet Club was running wild in New Japan, it wasn't week-to-week. It was tour-to-tour, and there were downtime, and there was breaks, and that kept the product fresh, just like New Japan does now. And you know, if you let this trio run wild and be what the internet really wants it to be, it's just the NWO all over again. And we all saw how that turned out in the long run. So we don't want that. They're going to have to lose. They're going to have to be even with somebody, because we have weekly episodic storytelling. And I just don't know if people are going to love that. I really don't. So it's going to be quite interesting. But I want to kind of go off a little bit. And I know Patrick O'Dowd loves when I go off on my little tangents, but this to me is timely, because all this talk about Finn Balor and him possibly being the challenger for Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble and not being over and this and that, and then you couple it with talk about who's being wasted against the Miz week after week, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, and there was no payoff, and yet here we are with a payoff. And weeks of Elias and Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, and now Finn Balor is ready to go, and he has the club. And to me, people love to say that WWE throws everything together on a week-by-week basis. And there's some validity to that, but I don't think they just threw Balor Club together out of nowhere. First of all, they were making Balor Club shirts for forever. And so there's obviously some idea there that they were eventually going to do this. And I honestly think that they're going to be able to do this at some point soon in terms of releasing merchandise and selling it and everything else. So I honestly think that there was some planning that was involved in this, and now it's put together and everybody's happy about Balor Club. Everybody, especially Finn Balor, Carl Anderson, and Luke Gallows. Patrick O'Dowd, no one can be happier about this than Gallows and Anderson, because they weren't shit until this.
Well,
they were singing with, they were actually working house shows with Elias, and now all of a sudden they're on the opposite side of the fence from Elias. But they're going to get merchandise money. They're going to get bigger payouts. They might even get a WrestleMania match out of this one. Patrick O'Dowd they weren't trending towards a WrestleMania match until this happened. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what happens with those two moving forward. But they got to be thrilled, because I think Finn Balor in the wrong run was going to be just fine. Gallows and Anderson, you have people saying send them back to New Japan. Like Smarts were saying,
I think,
get rid of Gallows.
I think they were probably thinking, when are we going back to New Japan? Like,
I doubt it. They're making more money.
Well, they're making more money, but you know how it is. When you recognize that creative has nothing for you, that you start to think about where you need to go next. You know? Go back home.
Especially when you were hot shit over in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody loved you, and you had Bullet Club, and you see what the Young Bucks are doing. You see what Cody Rhodes is doing. Marty Scurll. It's got to, I don't know if it's got to hurt or not, but for the former members of Bullet Club, to see what the current members are doing, I wonder if it hurts.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. They've never admitted.
Because it's not the same.
AJ's fine.
Yeah.
Balor's in a good spot. Really, only Gallows and Anderson are the only ones that I could think of that might have some jealousy.
Well, and you got to think about it. You know, you go back to the WWE because it's the WWE. We've talked about this on previous shows, like years and years ago. One of the few times I've ever written for you, I actually wrote about this. The utter lack of interest in tag team wrestling that the WWE really has. And so when they brought over, Anderson and Gallows, everybody, being the wrestling realist that I am, people were talking about this being like this big boon for tag team wrestling because, here are all these people. Nothing's really going on with tag team wrestling.
Although 2017 was a damn good year for tag team wrestling, but we ended, of course, with one makeshift tag team. all on one brand.
It's all one brand. Raw had its moments, but the tag team titles are still, at the end of the day, on Raw in particular, less so on SmackDown. The tag titles are, and tag team wrestling is very much a vehicle for singles run wrestling storylines. And here's the thing, Ambrose and Rollins win the tag titles, right? And immediately, what's one of the first things you started talking about in terms of your predictions for what was going to happen with those tag titles and those two?
Oh, they were going to lose them and break up.
Yes.
And feud.
And so that's the vehicle on Raw. And so I don't agree necessarily. I think tag team wrestling is better than it was in previous years. I don't know that ever since it hit its sort of apex and peak, in my opinion, with the Hardys and the Dudleys and Edge and Christian, it's just never really gotten back there. And the tag titles, particularly on Raw, have always been used as a vehicle to further tag teams breaking up. That's why I was genuinely surprised that The Bar lasted as long as it did. Because when they first formed, started working together, I started talking about a cycle where they eventually break up, because that's what the WWE usually does. Over on SmackDown, you've got the best tag team of our generation, keeping pretty solid control of those belts and making, we've talked a lot about The Miz making the Intercontinental title matter. They've made the tag belts matter in a different way over
they
on
have.
SmackDown than they
yeah.
have.
No, they definitely have.
On Raw.
They have, you could say they have missed the tag team titles over on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like they have taken something that even creative doesn't deem as important and have made it important. And maybe we're wrong. Maybe there is a creative effort to make those belts important over on SmackDown. Who knows? But the Usos, like you said, greatest tag team of our generation. So we'll transition. We'll go out of order. But there's a topic that Patrick O'Dowd wanted to talk about, and I think now is the perfect time to talk about it. And that is a tag team that, again, We talk about the internet wrestling community. They are much beloved by the internet wrestling community, and that is the Revival. And here we sit on Raw, and the Revival is doing basically nothing. And they're at full health again. Everyone's back, and they made a return, and it just hasn't led to much. And me personally, I can't help but feel, and I felt this way ever since they made their post-WrestleMania debut, they look completely out of place on Raw.
Yes. I think that's 100% true. I think they're not on our rundown if they're on SmackDown right now. Like at all.
Yeah, because, at least not for the same reason.
Because I think there would be something for them to do. I mean, hell, Breeze Angle has something to do on SmackDown. Yeah. So,
exactly.
So,
and
we just talked about
what
how
they did. If you look at what they did in NXT with a variety of tag teams, I mean, they feuded with everybody. And they put on great match after great match. I mean, their stuff with DIY is the stuff of legends. They did great things to the Authors of Pain. They did so much great work. And, yeah, injury has played a factor, but had there not been injury, I don't think their 2017 is all that much better overall.
No.
Now, again, as we talk about letting it bake and letting things marinate, if there's a shakeup and they go over to SmackDown, you know, they could do some great stuff with the Usos. Of course, I think the Usos are coming to Raw, so that's probably going to be a moot point. But maybe you keep them on Raw and you bring the Usos over, and next thing you know, you can create something over on Raw. Who knows?
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the flip. It's one of those things. Like, when I saw this report, and again, this is a report, so it could be bullshit. Who knows? But the idea that you could have a team as talented, and I appreciate that you pointed out that actually nothing has happened. Like, they came back and then they were on like main event the next day. But to have a team that's as talented as you talked about, and for the idea to be like they don't have anything
right.
that they can have them do, like
anything?
zero, like that's a tough pill to swallow. Like you said though, if they move the Usos over or move them to SmackDown, I think that they'll get a revival of sorts. You get kind of a set. Yeah, I know, right? I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Like I think that there's an opportunity for them to come back. I think that SmackDown is the better place for them right now if they're going to keep the theme of. Or if they're going to continue to value tag team wrestling over there the way that they appear to do. But almost right now, if they're going to keep them on Raw, of the teams to kind of win the belts away from Rollins and Ambrose, I really wish it'd be them. And then if you have the Usos move over, then the Usos challenge them. And then you've got something that could be special and cooking.
By the way, before anybody tweets or says anything, Patrick Dodd misspoke. He knows the tag team champions are not Rollins and Ambrose. He
oh, yeah,
the tag
sorry.
Team champions are Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. We all know that the man on the equation is on the shelf, and we know all that.
They haven't released Jordan yet? I just thought that had happened.
No.
Oh,
no, they haven't. They haven't released.
Dean fucking Ambrose.
I didn't ask
them
to release Dean Ambrose.
We were trending. Yeah, I don't have a Jason fucking Jordan soundbite. So,
no, and
we were
nor
trending,
should
by
you.
The way. No, it shouldn't. We were trending, by the way, towards Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania. I kind of have a feeling we're trending towards Seth Rollins versus Jason Jordan at WrestleMania. And to me, that feels like a huge drop-off. And I'm a Jason Jordan fan. And I think Jason's going to be a big deal in time. And he's going to do really, really good things for the company. I just don't know that I want to see Seth Rollins versus Jason Jordan at WrestleMania as much as I would have been okay with Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. But there's just not the history there.
Yeah.
It's hard to create that history over the course of a few months with those two guys. You can create it with the right two guys. I don't think those are those
two guys.
Well,
where does Kurt Angle come into play? Like, really, the match should be Kurt Angle versus Jason Jordan. I know that's not what's going on, but maybe. Does there even need to be a match like that at WrestleMania? I don't know. Like, I don't know what do you do with that. I know that's probably what you're saying is probably the right answer. It's just not a good answer. Like, playlist
yeah,
or no
like,
playlist.
I could see this. To me, that's like a SummerSlam match. That could even be like a Great Balls of Fire match.
Backlash?
If doing that pay-per-view again. Backlash?
Yeah.
There's a lot. That match will happen. That match will happen.
Yeah,
it will
sure.
not happen at WrestleMania, at least not this time around. So, but it's going to be interesting. But the Revival, here's what I want for the Revival after WrestleMania, because we can't do it before WrestleMania. You could, but it just doesn't make sense with what they're doing.
Yep.
I want them on the same brand as the Usos. That's what I want,
yeah.
personally. That's on my playlist. I'll admit it. That's what's on my playlist is the Usos and the Usos and the Revival on the same exact brand. That would make me quite happy.
I basically laid out that was the match setup I wanted, so I didn't really know where else to take it. You know what I mean? Like,
I just want
yes,
you
Greg.
To be happy, Patrick O'Dowd.
I'm happy.
I just want you to be happy. That's all I really want in all of this. Like, after almost 7 years of podcasting, my number one goal, it used to be to help everyone enjoy the product more. I've changed it now. It's just to make sure that Patrick O'Dowd is happy.
Aw, Puddin'.
I'm good.
That's all I want. That's all
yeah.
I really want. A hug and a happy Patrick O'Dowd. They say happy wife, happy life. For me, it's happy Patrick, happy life. That's how it works.
Really? Because I'm that big of a burden on you when I'm in a bad mood. Like,
yeah, you're really not. It's kind of funny.
Greg, why don't you pay more attention to me on the weekends? Greg?
No,
yeah, that's not me.
You get that at home. I get that at home when I'm working on website stuff. It's okay. It's, I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Would you shut the hell up?
Take my own advice. It's a good thing the wife doesn't listen to the podcast. That I know of.
Yet. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, right. Where's that one?
It was like I don't have soundbites, so
much,
I can't do it.
So much trouble. You don't have soundbites. I should let you do some soundbites. You've had soundbites
I know, but I'm not really big into it. I still remember the day that you let one Tony Acero take over the board for our show, and he was like way
yeah.
too into it. And like, kind of like when you get in one of those
morning.
Movies. It was crazy. I saw the board and I was like, this is just too much for me to process. Like, why? I don't need it. Yes, not worth our time.
You know, if you're listening to the show and you think that like. Having access to the sound bites is just the greatest thing.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
It's just not.
I make it seem like it's amazing, and that's really just because I'm amazing and it has nothing to do with sound bites. But the sound bites are still there. The sound bites, we try to, some shows we use them more than others. It just depends on the week. Speaking of sound bites, let us transition. Let's have a period of transition before we talk about our next topic.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
The more Baron Corbin I see on SmackDown, the more I enjoy SmackDown.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
Excellent as always, Greg. And I got to tell you, I really like this segment. Like it's really growing on me, but it made me think that maybe, it did make me want to address another person. And that was one Roman Reigns. And I think that there's something worthy to say about Roman Reigns as well.
You're not going to turn heel and go Roman sucks on me, are you?
No, not at all. Because fuck off. Roman Reigns is talented. That's all I got to say.
Ooh. There you go. There you go. That's right. Roman Reigns is talented. It's so easy to trigger people too. Like just go Roman Reigns.
Oh, dude, I literally. Oh my god.
I got somebody blocked by somebody else last night on Twitter. Yeah.
No way. How'd you do that?
I got two dudes fighting in a DM chain, not DM chain, just a Twitter chain, Twitter thread with me. Next thing you know, they start fighting and one blocks the other one, and it's amazing. Apparently, they already didn't like each other, so you know, there was history it went from about me to two guys blocking each other. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. I think it's hilarious. Yesterday he wrestled Joe, right? And inevitably, good match on television. And some jackass will be like, well, look, Samoa Joe pulled out a Roman Reigns. And it's like, like, what are you watching? Like, if you like, you to say that is to steadfastly just ignore what your eyes are telling you.
Oh,
because
yeah. The Rock. Look at The Rock. The Rock is one of the best performers of this generation, of this, you know,
yeah.
the WrestleMania
yeah,
era,
no
whatever
question.
You want to call it. Top five, Mount Rushmore, all that stuff. His punches look like shit. Let's be honest. Like,
oh,
his
yeah,
punches don't look believable at all. They're absolutely terrible. Okay, everything he does looks fake, and that's and it's overdone and whatever. And yet he sold hand over fist and made money for Vince McMahon. Like, it's and even today someone was going back and forth, and they're like, well, he's not a technically sound wrestler. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, technical wrestling has its place on the card, but very few technical wrestlers ascended to the main event of WrestleMania. Even
yeah,
I'll go so far. People are going to go crazy. Shawn Michaels, not a technical wrestler. Okay,
no,
Shawn Michaels, more of a high flyer. And if you look at his main event run, lots of punches and kicks, because that's what you do. You set up moves. You don't just go spot after spot. You give them meaning. And that's what Roman Reigns does. Everything
yeah,
he does
yeah,
has meaning.
Yeah. There's one technical wrestler out there that people would argue, you know, that you can make the main event argument with. But he wasn't an exciting main eventer. And this is coming from a fan. Like, I like Bret Hart. And I like watching. Bret Hart was not an exciting watch. Like, go back and watch that Iron Man match, people. It's not like it's.
Oh, I hate
it's,
you
it's
know. I hate that match.
Yeah, it's boring.
I absolutely hate that match. It's boring because you went in. They went in with this plan where they had to fill time. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Take that Iron Man match and make it a 2 out of 3 falls match, and at least you could still go to a draw. You could still go a full hour. Have it be one fall to one fall, which you could have done with the Iron Man match. But the Iron Man match, here's the thing about the Iron Man match, and the only drawback of Iron Man matches. When the opening bell rings, you know it's going 60 or whatever the amount of time being allotted to it is. You know it's doing that. Like, if you said Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels 2 out of 3 falls, and then they went to a 60-minute time limit draw, one fall apiece, that to me is more exciting because you sat down expecting to watch maybe a 35-minute classic, and then they gave you 60? It's kind of like when Okada and Omega went 60. No one thought they were never going to go 60. And so
that
makes it exciting. When you know they're going to go 60, it's not as good. It's not as good when you know they're going to go 60. So,
well, that's the thing.
That's
you and Okada and Omega, but, you know, the Flair Steamboat matches from way back when, like when they would go 60, like it was never – it was always for the title with a 60-minute time limit, but like the idea was that you went 60 because you took each other to the limit. Not you knew you had 60 minutes to go to kill, and so what are you doing?
Yeah, that's
and
why
it's just,
I don't like Iron Man matches. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of Iron Man matches because I think it just tells the kind of story that I don't want to see. Let's be point blank honest.
See,
like I would rather the 60-minute draw sneak up on you than you know it's
coming. Yeah. See, I love the Iron Man match when it's done with a lot of falls. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is there, like, when you do one fall apiece for 60 minutes, that's brutal. You could have done 4 falls apiece and probably told a bunch more. Because when you do more falls, in my opinion, it creates a sense of desperation in the match. Like, maybe somebody goes up, you know, 3 or 4 falls, and then the other person's got to catch up. Like, that can be a lot of fun. And it can tell a better story. And not that I expected us to go this long talking about the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels Iron Man match. But when you look at Bret Hart's big WrestleMania moments, WrestleMania 10 when he wrestled Owen, which was as much about him and Owen and the work they were doing together as it was anything. And Owen goes over Bret Hart worked a lot of matches and worked a lot of main events where he kind of made other people. But he wasn't really an exciting main eventer. Like, he made Steve Austin on some levels with the bloody face moment. He made Owen by losing to Owen, and I mean, he was happy to do it. He couldn't even win. Like, his first WrestleMania main event, he didn't win. He got to tell Hulk Hogan to go win the title for him.
Right.
Like for everybody. So, like, I love Bret Hart, but you're right. Technical guys, not very often. People argue about Benoit. Benoit had one.
And it didn't last very long.
It didn't last very long. Ricky Steamboat never main evented, anything significantly huge out of, his WWE run.
No. Savage Steamboat was amazing, but you got to remember Savage Steamboat for its time was decades ahead of its time. And that's what made it so amazing.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. That's great. But the thing is, that never would have main evented WrestleMania. Vince wouldn't have done that. Savage was the closest thing at the time to a technical main eventer. And once he hit the main event scene, it was all about him and Hogan and Elizabeth. And wasn't even about the talent that was the Macho Man Randy Savage. And then his career took off and exploded when he was less focused on his in-ring abilities, because that's not what sells. And people have a really, really hard time with that and absorbing that information and being okay with it, because it's just hard to admit those things sometimes when it's not, what maybe initially drew somebody in. But again, that comes back to the age-old point. A lot of this isn't for you, internet fan. You're already there. You're already hooked. It's for the person watching at home that may not want to watch next week. And so we got to hook them in, and we hook them in with storylines, not with great wrestling. I'm sorry that I have to put it that way, but it's true. In a lot of ways, the matches don't matter. And what happens during the actual matches doesn't matter.
Because if the matches mattered, or if the technical in-ring ability of matches, wrestlers mattered, then Braun Strowman wouldn't be where he is today. Brock Lesnar wouldn't be what he is today. If technical, in-ring performance.
He would have to work a lot more at it.
Yes.
He'd have to work a lot more at it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sorry, a lot of wanks go nuts over Brock Lesnar, who, by the way, has shown up to 100% of the Raws in 2018. But his work in the ring is nothing. It's suplex, 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 get beat down a little bit, and then come back, suplex, suplex,
it's
suplex.
It's even on a fucking shirt. Winner. Paul Heyman actually sells him by talking about Suplex City, Suplex Repeat. It's all that Brock Lesnar is these days. He's not the same Brock Lesnar of years ago, and that's why they can't card him out all the time. Because, and that's why I think the world – I don't think that the reaction – when Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, which we all expect to happen, I don't think the reaction is going to be as bad as a lot of people think it's going to be in New Orleans when that happens. Because I honestly think we're ready. I think the wrestling world is ready for Brock Lesnar to not be champion.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a fair way to – to put it out there.
They're not ready for, and the rumor is Lesnar's going to be around more in 2018 than he has in the past with whatever's going on with his contract and whatever changes that's going to. Imagine if he wins at WrestleMania and stays the champion. Like that would be another Brock. People would be shocked if Brock Lesnar won at WrestleMania. And it would be good.
I mean, I'd be shocked if he won at WrestleMania, and it would be good if it was.
Oh, I would too.
If he's going to be around, if he's going to be around for it, then yeah. Because I think the biggest complaint that I have is that part timer, and I know he wouldn't be a full timer, but by any means,
But he might wrestle on most of the pay per views.
Yeah, seeing him around a little bit more would make me be okay.
I think when he loses to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, I think Brock Lesnar becomes the new Undertaker, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I think the modern day Undertaker is the best role for him to play. Because it plays into what's hot and popular now with MMA and with the fighting style and even video games with the big giant boss at the end, all of that. It all plays into what Brock Lesnar is and how he can be promoted. And I don't think it's bad. I just don't think he should be. Undertaker was rarely champion in his
very much
career.
So.
I might go back and do the math and wouldn't be shocked to find out that Brock Lesnar collectively has held the title for more days than Undertaker ever did. It wouldn't surprise me at all if I found that out in doing the math, and I'll have to do that at some point and maybe even write about it. Who knows? But I think we're ready, and I don't think the reaction to Roman Reigns is going to be as negative as people think, because it's been steadily changing. But I want to, we talked about one world champion. Let's talk about another world champion, or at least another world championship. And that's a championship over on, you see that? You like how I did that? That's the championship over on SmackDown, currently held by AJ Styles. And I had a tweet earlier today, and Patrick O'Dowd wanted to talk about it a little bit here today. It really is the Patrick O'Dowd show today. The entire rundown was pretty much set by Patrick O'Dowd, just to let everybody know.
And I was like, what do you want to talk about? Mostly you talking.
It is. But you put it on the list.
It's a good thing to talk about.
Everybody understands it. It is a good thing to talk about, and I know that you will have some opinions about it as well. But basically, I put a tweet out earlier today, and it's something that I told Patrick as well privately and some other people. And I just, you know, I make a lot of these predictions that I make on gut instinct, watching the product, watching where things are going, and kind of see what's going on. And I know I've long predicted that AJ Styles would defend the WWE Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. I said AJ would win the title at the Rumble. He obviously won it earlier. Nakamura would win the Rumble. I said that before Nakamura even challenged Jinder Mahal for the very first time that he did. And even on our SummerSlam preview show, I said the same exact thing, but that's how it would go. And it was pretty close. And I have to stick with that. Like, I can't go away from that prediction, but I got this feeling, and I've had it for the past couple weeks, that this big match for John Cena that we've been rumored is going to be John Cena going for number 17 at WrestleMania. And if you kind of look at the card, you look at who would be the ideal opponent for John Cena to do that with, it's not AJ Styles. That's who he'd be for 16. To me, it's Kevin Owens. And Patrick Goodell, we know, first of all, that Owens and Cena together is a good combination. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
They've put on great matches.
You know why?
Because
Cena's a good wrestler, too.
What? You're trying to be crazy, Patrick Goodell.
I know.
Is that why Cena versus Roman Reigns was an entertaining match?
It's almost as if they both could, you know, wrestle.
You know what else is crazy? WrestleMania 31... And obviously it got amazing when Seth Rollins came out. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar was a great match and a great story.
And it really was.
It had the perfect finish, and it really was. And if you fast forward to 2017, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman sucked. It wasn't that good.
It was bad.
And Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe was okay and told a decent story, but it's some of the best matches we've seen out of Brock Lesnar have involved Roman Reigns or John Cena. And it's just very funny to think about those two guys and where they are right now. And there's a reason why one has been the guy and one now is the guy, because they can actually deliver. They just don't deliver in the way of moonsaults and flips and super kicks and whatever else. But that doesn't really matter because it's a different.
This is my yard now.
But I think the big story for John Cena at WrestleMania really could be Cena going after number 17. And with Kevin Owens being there, it's very possible. And if you look at what's happened, and I suspected this before when they made the announcement, Owens pin Styles, now Sami Zayn is pin Styles. What might that set up at the Royal Rumble, Patrick O'Dowd? Just throw it out there.
Yeah, I don't need to set it up because it's been announced. It's a 2-on-1 match versus AJ Styles. They've sold it as a 2-on-1, not a triple threat.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, coming up, I'm gonna find the actual post, but I saw it.
Okay, yeah, you find the actual post.
No.
We'll see what it is. But basically, what I'm getting at is somehow, I think we're gonna leave the Royal Rumble Kevin Owens as the WWE champion.
Yeah,
because that's exactly what it's. I think that's what's going to happen, and I think that's where we're headed with this, and I think it's going to be very, very interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the long run. AJ Styles, by the way, is tweeting about the fact that he has to face two guys for a title at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So whether it's a triple threat match, whether it's a handicap match, who the hell knows? The fact of the matter is that
here we go. I will click on the link. That's a video. Damn it. Sorry. I'm Greg DeMarcoing this whole thing.
Now we've gone silent. It's great.
Oh, well, because I'm trying to find the right thing. I've got it on there. Yeah, whether it's a handicap match or a 2-on-1, I don't want to. The thing that they're showing up there is on the Twitter feed is the video of Daniel Bryan announcing it, which means if I press play on this, I'm just going to hear it in my headphones, and I don't want to do that.
No, you don't want that.
Yeah.
But it's been done. It's we know what's happening. And so me, that sets up Kevin Owens to walk out as WWE. Now, a lot of people have already tried to fantasy book how it makes Sami Zayn win the WWE Championship.
Yep.
What is it that you like to say? 0% chance?
0%, yep.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to – I mean, I'm sorry, internet wrestling fan, but that's just not going to happen. Sami Zayn is not going to win. I know there's a billion ways you could fantasy book it, especially with the rumored five-way for Fastlane. That's where you can get it from Zayn to Owens. Look, I get it, and it's not even a bad story to tell. I just don't see them doing that. I would support them if they did. I wouldn't complain, but I just don't see them doing that. But you have Kevin Owens win the championship at the Royal Rumble, and that would mean that John Cena wins the Royal Rumble. Patrick O'Dowd, how much fun would that be? How much fun would it be to come on the air a couple of days after the Royal Rumble when John Cena wins the Royal Rumble?
Well, I always love responding to the Royal Rumble. Anyway, it's my favorite pay-per-view. So, cherry on top if John Cena wins it this year.
That would be almost as good as when Roman Reigns came out at number 30 last year. Because that was amazing in its own.
It was great.
But I would love it if John Cena won the Royal Rumble, because John Cena going for number 17, and here's the thing. Number 17, in my opinion, was always going to happen for John Cena. Like, as he got even remotely close to Flair's record, you know. But WWE is all about the current regime breaking all the records. That's why Nikki Bella had to hold the women's championship for as long as she did before finally losing it to Charlotte. Like as soon as she broke the record, boom, belt goes to Charlotte. Like, that's... They want to break all the records. In fact, sorry, Internet, as soon as Roman Reigns wins the Universal Championship, he's probably going to hold it longer than 434 days.
I know.
Which means he will successfully retain it at WrestleMania 35. And maybe he'll even do that against CM Punk. Who the hell knows? Because you know I think Punk's coming back to 35.
You do.
But that's a whole other topic.
You do. You're running out of time, man.
To me, I know. We'll get there. We got time. Just like when Rollins came out, there's like 4 minutes left in the WrestleMania broadcast at 31. Rollins finally came out. So I was on the edge of my seat. Really, really scared. Now it doesn't matter. There's no really end time for pay-per-views anymore. But back then, there still was. So, I just to me, it strikes me as what they could do. Now, you still get AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura if that happens. It just isn't for the WWE Championship. And I don't know if that's necessarily horrible. It's still going to be a great match. I know people want to see it for a title. But to me, that doesn't – it's still AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in front of 70,000 people at WrestleMania. And those 70,000 people will still be going nuts. And they'll still chant whatever crazy thing they chant for the entire night, because that's what we do. And I just cannot – I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And we still get our John Cena moment at WrestleMania.
The thing is they don't need a story for that match, like, because it's been done so many times. Outside of the United States, but it's been done. We used to joke about this all the time that AJ and Christopher Daniels could, just be thrown out there at any point, and you knew you were going to get a quality match. You knew what it was going to be. Like, they can do the same thing with AJ and Nakamura at this point, because of their history and the time they worked together. And so you don't need any real build. There'll be a build, obviously. Like, they won't just put him out there because for funsies. Like, there'll be a reason. There'll be something that makes the two of them have to fight. But you don't need it. It's not thoroughly important. And so, for them to put on a successful show.
It's as easy as Styles getting a match with Cena on SmackDown, losing, coming out the next week. The whole big thing is going to be like, what's next for AJ Styles? And AJ is saying, I want Shinsuke Nakamura WrestleMania. Here comes Nakamura. Or AJ cutting an I don't know what's next promo, and out comes Shinsuke, and the crowd goes bananas, because they would, and it would be a good moment, and that would be fine. It would be okay that it's not for a championship at WrestleMania. And even though I think that was the plan for a while, I just, sometimes these things change, and I'm apologizing a lot today, but I'm sorry.
You are.
John Cena winning number 17 is a bigger deal than Shinsuke Nakamura winning number 1 will ever be. It's just the way it
is.
That's true. IWC, I'm really, really, really sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm going to keep apologizing because I am really sorry about that. It's just going to be very, very interesting to see what happens on the road to WrestleMania. But that's what the road to WrestleMania is all about. Goldberg won the fucking world title on the road to WrestleMania.
Yep. This
does, like you said, happens all the time. And it's just, this is what we do. And this is how we get there. And personally, as I lay it all out in front of myself on paper, I can't see anything bad about it. I know it's not AJ and Shinsuke for the belt, but it's still AJ and Shinsuke, and I'm cool with that. I really am. I don't know what else to say. I'm speechless. But
aww.
I keep talking. I don't know why.
I know why. Oh, you're just rambling. You're rambling. Rambling.
I am rambling.
It's okay.
Because I don't know. I'm trying to help people enjoy the product more, which is what we do on this show. But I feel like you shouldn't need any help with this. Not you, of course. But shouldn't need help with seeing why this is okay.
And I think most of them do see it as okay. Like, I think that, you know, for as much as we give folks a hard time, we do have to remember that the sliver of population that we read and mock is still a sliver of a population. You know, that wrestling fan that I always talk about, that doesn't, you know, understand Shinsuke, you know, they're fine either way with whatever happens with Nakamura and AJ Styles. And will enjoy the match regardless of where it is. So I think that, you know, for the most part, you're good. Our listeners, though, I think might struggle with it.
Well, you know what? That's the way it is. I can't abandon your prediction, but I want to. And I feel bad doing that because it kind of goes against the whole prediction that I need to put up on the website.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I did tweet it, and so it's out there, but I just kind of feel like it's probably going to happen.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
All right, let you go down. It's time to talk about it. I know you are very excited to discuss. And that is, of course, the fact that it was revealed, at least people are putting 2 and 2 together on the Twitter, that one of your favorites might be. What you talk about that?
So, yeah, I noticed a couple of days ago a report started to surface that one Carmella had started removing all of the social media posts and pictures that she had connected to one big cast. Now, for most of us fans, we know, or if you watch Total Divas, you were aware that Big Cass and Carmella were dating, were an item, which was always a little tough for me to swallow because for some reason, and I wish I could explain where this comes from because she's not even my typical type, but good Lord, I find that I have more than a small thing for Carmella. Like, just, I don't know if it's the moonwalk, if it's the Jersey bad attitude thing. I don't know what it is, but I love me some Carmella. And so seeing this news is telling me there's some hope. That there's some, I've already gotten some suggestions from some of the Chair Shot Radio folks as to what I might need to do. Things involving spray tans and maybe learning how to moonwalk myself might get me in a good place. You know, I'm willing to try. I've already talked this over with Mrs. O'Dowd. It's been approved, so we don't have to worry about that. That can take care of itself. But there's a chance, Greg DeMarco. They're saying there's a chance, and I'm going to hold on hope. But keep that faint hope out there alive, because now Carmella is possibly back on the market.
Glimmer of hope, Patrick, because you just never know what Princess of Smile, whatever she called herself, for a while there. And
yeah.
That's not today's too bad, good enough, but it just, you know, who knows? But I cash the damn thing in, but what if that happened? You just never know.
All right, Greg, I gotta tell you, buddy, you're breaking up so hard there. I have no idea what you're saying. So I don't know if your mic.
That's good. I'm excited.
Okay, there you go. There you're back. I don't know what you did.
Was I back?
You sound back now. Yes.
Beautiful. Like, well, what I was going to talk about was a former associate of Carmella's, and that is, of course, one James Ellsworth. I just want to toss something out there.
I just want to toss something out there, Patrick O'Dowd. There's a Royal Rumble coming up here in a few weeks. And it's the first ever Women's Royal Rumble in WWE. And we know there's going to be 30. We're excited. It's, you know, the wrestling world is ready for the all-women's Royal Rumble. What if James Ellsworth is number 30?
Oh, one can hope. Like, one can hope. I would love it. I would love it. Because you know he's not going to win the thing. But it would be, it would pop.
Well, that's the crazy part, right? Well, what if he wins and then surrenders his title shot to Carmella in hopes of trying to win her back?
Oh.
Now, I don't think they would do that. I think they learned from their mistake with the first ever Money in the Bank. Not that I thought it was bad, but I recently had a conversation with somebody who traveled 6 hours, a female, a woman, who traveled 6 hours to go to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view solely because it was the first ever women's Money in the Bank match. And she felt so robbed over the ending.
Yeah.
And I know you were on that train that it was a bad move.
I was not a fan of that result, no, at all.
And I was until I listened to this person talk about the fact, and she was like, look, I don't care that she cheated. I don't care that Ellsworth helped her win. She only cared about the fact that Ellsworth was the one who took the briefcase off of the carabiner, who took the briefcase down, and that Carmella should have been able to do that, and even did it a few days later on SmackDown, or whenever they did it on SmackDown. So I completely turned around on that. So I don't think they would make the mistake of having James Ellsworth win the Women's Royal Rumble.
No.
And maybe he wouldn't even be number 30, but I would not be shocked to see him in the match. I just really wouldn't.
Yeah.
Especially when they got to fill a lot of spots now.
I think it'll pop the crowd easily if he came out. Like,
I think it would
too. It's so huge, and that's all you need. Like, that's the other thing that I think that is a beauty of the Royal Rumble match in general. And I know we're coming up on the end of time. And it doesn't matter if it's the women or the men. And the great thing that's going to be about the Women's Royal Rumble is that it's the first one that I think you're going to see. Probably already official, but I bet you Trish Stratus shows up. Would love to see Lita show up. I don't know if she can, but would love to see Lita come out there. Like, you're gonna get to see some great throwbacks, which you always get in a Rumble. You always get a couple people that are Hall of Famers or whatever that come back and make an appearance. But an appearance like a James Ellsworth is totally the sort of thing that you put into the Royal Rumble. You know, whether it's men or women, and the place will go nuts for it. They just will.
Yeah, because, I don't want to see him in the men's Royal Rumble. I want to see him in the women's Royal Rumble.
Exactly, because he, oddly enough, though he got his start on that men's side, he made his bigger mark when he was picked up by Carmella. So it makes total sense. And I think that creative would know well enough to do that, too. So, yeah, it's the perfect place for him to make an appearance, to do a one-off, get a little payday, get a little pop. Before he gets eliminated, probably by the Women Collective. Like, I could see him being a warlord. Yeah. Like, I could see him being a warlord sort of entrant where he's in and then he's out.
Unless he takes a beating for a little bit. Like, I could see him being in there for a few minutes just to take an ass beating and then get thrown out.
Take a bunch of finishers, you know, all the sort of stuff that you would expect for him to get, like, comeuppance. But perfect place for it. You know, it's always.
Exactly.
You know, I want to see Santino make his triumphant return to the Royal Rumble again.
No.
To get thrown out. I don't think it will happen, but eventually that could be one that I would love. People would love it too. Don't act like they wouldn't.
Save that for the next one though. Save that for number two or number three.
Sure. But it's just always so random. You know what I mean? It's just always random. I meant Santino for the men. Like, I didn't mean for the women.
I see what you're saying.
You know, just like a rando one-off that shows up. Like, that is one of the beauties of the Royal Rumble. So keep those things going because that's where they belong.
I think it'll be fun. I think the women's Royal Rumble.
No, I didn't say that.
I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be enjoyable. I think people have a good time. So we'll talk more about the Royal Rumble when we get there. But obviously we've got more weeks before that happens and lots more that can happen. So that's going to do it, Patrick O'Dowd. Another week in the books. We had a few technical issues here or there, but we lasted. We made it happen. And obviously we will talk to the good people next week.
All right. Later, Gators.
makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top.